questions of our own. So the sugya that we'll be discussing now is Inyani Avelus, and I encourage everyone to think about questions from your Rabbanus to bring to Rosh Hashanah after he addresses the 50 questions that he's been given.
Thank you very much. This week is Parshas Emor, and the Pasuk tells us that Kohanim are not permitted to be Metamel and Nesin unless it's one of the seven relatives. And it says, Lachos Hapsula Shalachos Elish, Lo Yitamo. So the Gemara has an Achlikas, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. How do you translate the phrase Lo Yitamo? Rabbi Shmuel says it's a Rishus. He's permitted to attend a funeral if he chooses to, but he doesn't have to if he doesn't want to. And the Pesach Halach is like Rabbi Kiva. The Gemara says even generations before, Bizman Abayas, this was an ongoing machloikas for generations and generations, and already Yoske Paskin before Rabbi Kiva was born, like that opinion, that Lo Yitama is a chayva. So the Rambam writes, Kama chamuri hi mitzvah sabelish nitchis mipaner tumas koyanim. The Rambam says that the mitzvah of Lo Yitama, and the Sefer Mitzvah is the Rambam, the mitzvah of Lo Yitama is the mitzvah of Avelus. The Rambam Paskin is that Avelus Yom Rishon is the rice, if it's the Yom HaMisa V'Hakvura. Avelus Yom Rishon is the rice, and the Mechaber Paskins like that. There are more Paskins like the Baalei HaTosfos, that all of Avelus Shiva Shloshim, everything is only with the Rabbanim. And the Mechaber Paskins like the Rambam, so the Rambam understands that the mitzvah to be Metamel Ameis is the mitzvah of Kavod Ameis. Kavod Ameis is the mitzvah of Nihug Avelus. The Rambam's opinion that Avelus Yom Rishon is Daraisa is only if it's the Yom HaMisa V'Hakvura, if the person is buried on the same day that he died. If he's buried on a different day, then even the Rambam will agree that it's only the Rabbanim. So that's what one of these 50 questions that was raised was, are there any circumstances when we would say that the Ovel should put on Tefillin on the first day? The Gemara says, Ovel Yom Rishon Eidem in Ech Tefillin. So there is an opinion in Achreinim, they quote the Maritatz, Mari Rabbi Yosef Taitatzak, he was the same time as the Beis Yosef, he lived in Constantinople, I think. The Mari Tatz is of the opinion that the Ovel doesn't put on Tefillin Yom Rishon as only if it's the Yom HaMisa V'Hakvura, which by us is usually not the case. Usually a person dies one day, you have to notify the relatives, you have to notify the people in the community. So we usually do not. It's very rare that you bury the person on the same day. Usually he's buried the next day. So the Maritats of the opinion that then you have to lay tefillin. That's not called Avelus Yom Rishon. And most of the Achronim rejected. The Chochma Sodom treats it like a Sveika Dedina, and he says you should put on tefillin without a bracha. If it's the Yom Rishon of Shiva, but it's not the Yom HaMisa V'Hakvura, you should put on tefillin without a bracha. But most of the Achronim rejected. They say, especially for Ashkenazim, this whole idea to distinguish between the Yom HaMisa V'Hakvura as opposed to another, Ovel Yom Rishon is only if you hold like the Rambam, only if you hold like the Mechaber. The Avelus Yom Rishon is the Raisa. But the Ramah doesn't for Ashkenazim, there are Sfardim amongst us, okay, so maybe the Sfardim is what to talk about. But for Ashkenazim there's nothing to discuss because there's nothing different about the Yom HaMisa V'Hakvura as opposed to the other days. So the Pashta says that Ovel Yom Rishon doesn't like film. Part of that question was, let's say, the Kvura takes place 2 o'clock in the afternoon and then the Ovel comes home and he has to daven mincha. So should he didn't put on tefillin in the morning, does he put on tefillin in the afternoon? So the Pashta says, we assume he does not put on tefillin. Talis, he should wear a talis, even if he's not going to daven from mincha. If he didn't put on an arba kampis in the morning, he didn't wear a talis in the morning, so he should wear a talis in the afternoon, put on the arba kampis in the afternoon. He should say Birchas HaTorah. He didn't say any brachas in the morning, the Einan doesn't say any brachas. He should certainly say Brichas HaTer. He should certainly say the 3 brachas, Shalos HaNigoy, Shalos HaNiyav, and Shalos HaNiisha. Those he should certainly say. What about the other Brichas HaShachar? So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Some are of the opinion, some Achrayim are of the opinion, that it's called Brichas HaShachar, has to be recited sometime in the morning when you can still daven Shachris before Chatzos. If it's already afternoon, how can you call it Brichas HaShachar? And others disagree. Brichas HaShachar is all day long. They quote from the Vilna Gaon that Mitzoy Tisha B'Av and Mitzoy Yom Kippur, when he put on his leather shoes, he said the bracha Shasali Kol Tzarki. Because the Gemara says when you put on shoes, you say Shasali Kol Tzarki. So Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, he didn't wear the shoes. So he was clearly of the opinion he can say the Brichas HaShachar all day long. It does not have to be Dabke. There's Man Shachris. And other Achrayim disagree. But the Bichas HaTorah, the three brachas, Shelo Asani Goy, Shelo Asani Yov, Shelo Asani Isha, that for sure he should say, even if it's in the afternoon, even if it's late, before he goes to sleep, yeah? What about Shema? He didn't say Kriya Shema in the morning. So, Rafal, we assume that Ovazmanai Batl is one opinion in Rishayim, one opinion in Shulchan Aruch, that there's Tashlumen for Kriya Shema. It's a difficult opinion. But Esri, that's a big question. Let's say the person was in the state of Aninus and he didn't daven, let's say, yesterday Mincha he didn't daven, Marv he didn't daven, Shachas he didn't daven, and now they do the Kippur at 2 o'clock, but now he's going to daven Mincha. So does he make Tashlum? He can't make Tashlum for Shachas, Marv, and Mincha. He don't only make Tashlum for one tefillah. So should he make Tashlum for the Shachas that he missed this morning? So that's a machlekes. The Rosh quotes a machlekes. How do you understand the halacha that an Einan is Pata Mikola Mitzvah? Einan is Pata Mikola Mitzvah. So he's Pata, so he doesn't have to make Tashlum. But he say it doesn't mean that he's Pata. The Maisa is not supposed to daven, but it's not that he's Pater. He's Mechuyev to do the Mitzvah, and he's not allowed to do it to show Kavanah Meis. That's what Rav Soloveitchik gave a mashal to understand that opinion. The Rambam's opinion is that the mitzvah lo yitama achoyba, that the kohen is b'chiv to mimitame, the design korev only applies to zichri kuhuna. It doesn't apply to other people. The zichri kuhuna who are prohibited to mimitame l'meisim, so they demonstrate kavod ha'meis by violating kedushas kuhuna. The kohen, there's a question, as machlokes Rashi and Tosfos and Brachos and Daf Chaf Aleph, that the kohen is matami to the zayin korev, is that duchuy or is that hutra? So the Rambam says b'feirush that it's duchuy. The Rambam holds that the mitzvah of lo yitama is to show that even though I'm a kohen, I'm not allowed to be matami l'meis, I violate the kedushas kuhuna in order to demonstrate kavod ha'meis. So similar to that, Rav Soloveitchik explained this opinion. If you hold that there is tashlumin, if you hold that the oinen does make tashlumin, he did daven shakris and mayra the mincha. When he davens mincha after the kvura, he makes a tashlum for the chakras. Why is that? Wasn't he potter? So he said, those rishonim hold, he's not really potter. He's mechuyev to do all the mitzvahs, and he's obligated to violate the mitzvahs to demonstrate kavod ha'meis. In Shulchan Aruch, the psak ha'mekubal and the mechaber paskens like the other opinion that there's no tashlum. That the pshat is that the oinen is potter mikavod ha'mitzvahs. I didn't realize I was here by the Askar. I didn't realize that all of these rabbanim passed away. I haven't been in touch with them for so long. I remember Rabbi Kelman years ago told me he learned by Rav Soloveitchik, and he told me over Rav Soloveitchik's interpretation. I just said, the way Rav Soloveitchik understood the opinion that the Einan is mechuyev in mitzvahs and he's not allowed to observe it, like the Rambam Shita. He has to violate Kedushas Kuhuna. So Rabbi Kelman explained the Shita HaMukubelas in Shulchan Aruch that there's no Tashlum. Why is no Tashlum? Because the Einan is Pata Mikolam. Why is he Pata Mikolam Mitzvahs? So he said, Rav Soloveitchik said, a person who's not balanced is a La Bardas. So when a person is in the state of Aninus, he's not going to be too balanced. So the whole din that the Einan is not allowed to do mitzvah is not a din that I said. It's only a din that the Rabban. So, but what's the nature of the din? That's what all our Achraim say. Even though Tosfos quotes a Pasuk, Yom Shatah Oisik B'chayim Abba Yom Shatah Moisik B'Mesim. So the Achrayim assume that's only an Asmachta. But what's the nature of the Din Mid Rabbanan? So he said over the name of Rav Soloveitchik that since the Oinen calls Mancha Mesim Utalfan is not 100% balanced, in a certain sense he's a Lav Bardas. So we consider him a Lav Bardas with respect to Esse. With respect to Lois Esse, we say he is a Bardas. He has to observe, not to violate other heresies and offer the Bardas. But he's a Lav Bardas with respect to the observing the Mitzvah Saseh. They quote the Achronim quote from the Radvaz. I don't understand what this means. The Radvaz says that this machlok is a rishayim, whether there's tashlumin or not, when the oval davens mincha after the kvurim. Does he make tashlumin for the shachris that he missed or not? And we paskin, he does not make tashlumin. The mechaber paskin, no tashlumin. So they quote from the Tshuvas HaRadvaz, let the oval daven farnomet, and he'll say the Chazoras HaShat. So when he says the second Shemana Esrei, the Chazoras HaShat, he should have in mind for the tzibur, this is Chazoras HaShatz for Mincha, and for him it's a Tashlumet v'Shachris. I'm not sure exactly why that works and how that works, but that's what that Achronim quote, the name of the Radvaz. I mentioned that we usually don't do the Kvura on the same day. That's the common practice. The Mishnah says, Hei l'nei l'chvoda, you're not in violation of Halonis HaMeis if you postpone the funeral of Kavod HaMeis. And the Gemara has dinan that on Shabbos and Yom Kippur you never do a levay, even ayde nochrim. But on Yom Tov Rishon, the Gemara says you bury ayde nochrim, ayde amamim, and on Yom Tov Sheni you're permitted, if need be, even to bury ayde Yisrael. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a psak in his sefer. He says that these dinim don't apply to Zman Hazeh. He says the reason why the Chachamim gave a heter to bury Yom Tov Rishon ayde nochrim, it's Amir Liakum. Bury Yom Tov Sheni ayde Yisrael, it's Mamach Amalocha, you're violating Yom Tov. So the Rav Moshe thinks it's not because they didn't give the heter because of the mitzvah of Kovetik Berenah Bayamahu, but rather because of the bizoyan ha-meis. If you're not going to bury the meis, the body is going to start to decompose and to smell. It's going to be a bizoyan ha-meis. But bizman hazeh, if you have available a freezer, you're going to put the meis in the freezer. So he said, all the heterim don't apply. Then he says, I people are going to tain it that I'm saying something against the Shulchan Aruch. So he says something, the bottom line, it is against. He said that they didn't in the Shulchan Aruch is before they have freezers. Now that you have freezers, so the whole din doesn't apply. The Agudas HaRabbanim in New York made an issa many years ago, they made an issa 60 years ago, not to do levayas, not on Yom Tov Rishon, not on Yom Tov Sheni, not because of Rav Moshe's reasoning, for a different reason. Now remember, we used to go to funerals on Yom Tov, so people would be driving, all friends and relatives would be driving in from New Jersey, from all over the place, then they drive to the cemetery, there would be so much chilul Yom Tov. So the Agudas HaRabbanim made an issa that you're not allowed to have any levayas on Yom Tov Rishon, Yom Tov Sheni. Broyers, they never accepted it, so they still have levayas on Yom Tov Rishon and on Yom Tov Sheni. But Rav Moshe held that it's keneged adin, and the Agudas HaRabbanim said that it's not a smart idea. We should discontinue it, bizman hazeh. Some of the other questions they asked was, if someone dies, there's a minig to spill out the water in the room, in the adjacent two apartments to the right, to the left, all the water that's uncovered. What about other liquids. So the Achrayim, there's a fantastic sefer, has Hilchas Avelos alphabetically arranged, the sefer Chayim Rav Mishmeres Shalom. My brother-in-law, Binyamin Gifter, told me that when his father passed away, he left in his tzavoya that if they have any shaylos in Hilchas Avelos, they should follow what it says, Chayim Rav Mishmeres Shalom. I remember when Rav Gifter reached the age of 50, so he told us they had a birthday party, and he told the children and the children-in-law that he made a tzavoah already. So some of them were surprised, what did he make a tzavoah for? He's only 50 years old. What is he, so morose, he thinks he's going to die. So I said, when they told it me, I said, no, that's what it says in the Chaim Ebrach and the Mishmer Hashem. He quotes it. He quotes the pasuk, "Bishnasay Avel Azaz Toshuv Lishalach Azaz." When a person reaches the age of 50, "Shnasay Avel," you should consider returning to your maker. So you say, we're not going to live forever. So you should make a tzavu at the age of, I said, just follow what it says. And that's when he passed away. He left instructions. Any time they have a shalom in Hilchas Avelos, they should follow the psak of the Chaim Ebrachim. It was a major pesuk in the days of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the Or Sameach. He quotes them in his svarim. Do we have the minig not to use the shoes of the meis? I once heard from my father, I think, that the minig started because people would die from a disease, and the tzimu didn't know, maybe it's a contagious disease. So even if the father only wore, even if the pair of shoes is a decent pair of shoes, then he hardly wore it, but you may catch the disease by wearing his shoes. But if you know that the father died from cancer, that's not a contagious disease. If he died from something else, and you have a brand new pair of shoes, father hardly ever wore it, it's mamash abal tashbis to throw it out. So you shouldn't throw it out. Either the yorshim should wear it if it fits them, or should give it away to a noni. Can a kohen go to the funeral home to attend the levaya of one of the Zayin Karevim if he knows that there's another neis there at the same time? The Rambam writes explicitly not. We don't understand exactly the explanation that the Rambam gives. The Rambam sounds like he's saying there is a question, Rashi and Tosfos, whether the heter of the kohen to attend the funeral is dechuya or hutra. So the Rambam writes dechuya. So therefore, if it would have been hutra, it would have been more mutter, more of a heter. Since it's only dechuya, so he says, it's only mutter if the only mace is the relative. But if there's another mace at the same time, then it's not permissible. We don't exactly understand why does it depend on Chuy and Hutra, but that's what the Rambam says. And in Shulchan Aruch, they quote that Rambam. If the person is in the hearse, I'm in the hearse with my father, or with my whatever, with a relative, with my brother, I don't have a brother, I'm in the hearse with my brother, the mace. So then if I'm holding on to the mace, then I may touch other mace. There's no Tosefes Tumah at all. But I have no heter in the first place to enter into the oil amaze, if I know in advance that there's another mace there at the same time. Remember one year, the outside rush on the topic of Tumas Kohanim, so he mentioned in the middle, I don't think it was relevant to this, he mentioned in the middle, there's a din, you only metab, the coin is only permitted and obligated to be metamit to the mace, because manchu hu sholim, below is manchu hu chaser. If they made an autopsy and took out parts of the body, even if they put it back in, that's called chaser. So sometimes the police require that you should make an autopsy. So he said you have to tell the Quran, they're not permitted to be metamei lameis in such a situation. Some achrayim assume that even a person had an organ removed while he was alive is also called chaser. So the Rav was assuming not so. He was assuming like Rav HaPostum. It's only called chaser. It was chaser lachamisa. But he said if they do an autopsy, that's considered chaser. So Kohanim have no heter to be mitame. Is a Kohen permitted to sit on a regular chair? In Shulchan Aruch it says beferish that not. That just like there's a din during Shiva. Not all the dinim of avelus begin before the kvura, but this says in Shulchan Aruch that the avel is not supposed to sit on a regular chair. Can the Kohanim bathe, shave, or take a haircut?
We pass them that way. In other words, every time there's a little bayah, the family sits in the front row at the funeral home. We should tell them they can't sit on their seats. They have to sit on a lower seat. They can't sit on the regular seats.
I don't know. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know why don't we do that. I don't know. That's a good question. But the Mechaber writes beferish like that. Same thing they say, the Einan shouldn't, when he goes to sleep at night, if in Shiva he wouldn't sleep on his regular bed, so you shouldn't sleep on the regular bed in the Nesina. That's in the Shulchan Aruch. Is that a point? They should really have separate chairs for them to sit in when they say the Hespeh. I don't know. Is it permissible for the Einan to shave or to take a haircut or to bathe before the Kvura? So this is a Sen Shulchan Aruch that it's awesome. This is really a machlekes harishonim. When do the laws of avelus begin? So the Rambam's opinion is that the oinen doesn't observe any mitzvahs, and the nihug avelus is one of the many mitzvahs. So nothing of avelus begins till after the kvura. So the Rambam would probably say for sure, he is permitted to sit on the chair. He is permitted to bathe. Tashu shamita, the Gemara said that's an isa b'taras aninus. That's also for an oinen. It's not the same isa as during avelus. Avelus luchud and aninus luchud. The Gemara says one may be more chomer than the other, but the shita's baliatesis is that the laws of avelus begin right away. The isurim avelus, there are isuri avelus and there are mitzvahs of avelus. So the isuri avelus begin right away. Let's say someone dies and is buried on Chol HaMoed. So the shiva doesn't begin till after Yom Tov, but the isuri avelus begin right away. So he has to observe shiva for 2 weeks. Dorm Shebetzin on Oyek, he has to observe Avelus right away. So included in Avelus is not to bathe, not to take haircut, not to shave. For Ashkenazim, for sure, that's the Psak and Shulchan Aruch, that all the laws of Shiva begin right away. One of the exceptions to the rule is, let's say, you're going to say, Avelus alatz is from Pesel Beisel. So that is going to be Metapel and Nekvura. So the Ramban explains that for sure is Mutter. During Aninus, we must permit him to be Yotzim Pesach Besa in order to be Metapel and Nekvura. Or let's say, Ovel is not allowed to wear Nilus Hasanel, is not allowed to wear shoes. You're going to tell the Ovel he should walk in his socks. How's he going to be able to take care of the Kvura? That's why many recommend that today, where it's a common practice that the Ovel during Shiva wears sneakers, so he should wear sneakers before the Kvura also, because all the laws, all the Yisur Avelus begin right away. Kfiyas Amita doesn't begin till later. The mitzvah's essay of Avelus don't begin till after Stimus HaGol, but the Yisurim begin right away. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, to bathe, to shave, to take a haircut, to sit on a chair. The Psak in Shulchan Aruch is that the Taka not allowed. What's the story about the Oinen or the Ovel selling his business? The din is that an Ovel is not allowed to be also the Malach, he's not allowed to do business. He's not allowed to have someone run the business for him. So the Ksav Sefer has a tshuva about this. He says if he's going to sell his business, that itself is a violation of Masa Matan. He's Oisik Ben Malach then. When he knows that the relative is holding by the end, he has to sell a business in advance. If he wants the business to remain, more correct is he should close the business. But if the nature of the business is such, you have to leave it open, so then you have to sell a whole business like Mechiras Chametz. You have to sell a whole business to somebody else before the Korav dies. That's a tshuva in the Ksav Sefer. Which halachas of aninus are suspended on Shabbos? The Gemara says all the laws of aninus are suspended, except for Tashmish Amita is a machlokes hatanoi. That's a machlokes. And we pass on the Tashmish Amita is also on Shabbos. Ram Shabbat Sina, anoyik, not only in the middle of Shiva, even in aninus also. The Gemara says it's not necessarily the same shayla. The machlokes hatanoim, where the oinen is muta b'Tashmish Amita on Shabbos, and the machlokes amoroim, where the oval is muta b'Tashmish Amita on Shabbos, not necessarily toli zeh b'zeh, because one could say one is perhaps more chomer than the other. But bottom line, we pass that they're both also b'Tashmish Amita, both on Shabbos, both in aninos and in avelos. The oinen goes to shul on Shabbos, he doesn't observe aninos, he goes to shul idam, does he say kaddish? So that's Yodua, that's a machloikas kikaz in the Shach. There was a period of time that when Rabbi Breuer was still alive, I live across the street from Breuer, so Rabbi Breuer was still alive, so Rabbi Schwab was the assistant rabbi. So a friend of mine, some of you know him, Sam Stern, he lives in Teaneck now. So Sam Stern's father passed away, and so one of the two rabbanim, he was in shul on Friday night. So one of the rabbanim walked over to him and he said, you say Kaddish tonight. The other rabbi sent a messenger to say, make sure you don't say Kaddish tonight. Two rabbanim had machlek said taz in the shach. The minig ha-mekubal is like the shach. You don't begin to say Kaddish till after the kvura. That's the nekudas ha-kesed, as an arichas there. When does the aninus end for one who is not attending the burial? So that's... let's say a person lives in a different country. He's not gonna attend the whole funeral. So that was before the war, years ago. That was a machlokes between the Netziv and his son-in-law, Rabbi Froil Shapiro. Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik's father-in-law was Rabbi Froil. So the Netziv has this fantastic chiddush that the Avelus begins after the Gemar HaKvura, if you are metapel a little bit in the Kvura. So if you went to the Espedim, and then he went to the airport, so then the Gemar HaHisaskus, when they take the mace, and you're not going to go with the mace, and you're not going to change your mind the last minute, the plane is going to take off in an hour, so then the Gemara says, the Avelus begins, after going to take the mace to bury him in a different city, without going to a different continent. So that's the Gemar HaHisaskus in the Kvur. But if you didn't go at all, you live in a different city, you didn't go at all to the funeral, so... You can't say the Gemar Hesaskus, so you have to wait till the actual Kfura. So the Shiva doesn't begin until the actual Kfura takes place. They have to call up and find out when did the Kfura take place. So Rabbi Paul Valojana disagreed, and he thought the Shiva begins right away. If I hear that a relative died in Eretz Yisrael and I don't plan to go to the funeral, so you start Shiva right away, even though the Kfura didn't take place. So it's interesting, the consensus changed over the years. Before the Second World War, the Rav of the Paskin passed them like the Netziv, that the Avelus doesn't begin to live to the actual Kfur. And after the war, the consensus among the big Paskin, Rav Moshe Feinstein and most of the others, they all passed like Rabbi Fon, that the Shiva begins right away. Rav Soloveitchik said that his father had a Hayroah, had a Psak on this, but nobody can pass them like, I don't think he can pass them like Rav Moshe. He said, we have a Psak halachic in the Ramekel Behovel, even if it's a Tarte disaster. So he said, according to the Netziv, the Shiva doesn't begin till tomorrow, till after the Kvur is going to take place. According to Rabbi Fol, the Shiva begins today. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik had a rai from the Rishonim that you say halachic in the Ramekel, even Tarte disaster. So he said, you only said Shiva 5.5 days. He started a day later and you end the day earlier. He had a rai to that you say even Tarte disaster. But how can you give such a psak for the Balabatim? The Balabatim think the rabbi is crazy. Shiva 5.5 days. No one will understand that. That's another din in Yeriday, in Hilchas Hayroas, Issa Veheta. Talmud Chacham is not allowed to give a psak that won't be understood by the Balabatim. They'll think the Balabatim think the rabbi is crazy. But in Lomdis, that's what the rabbi said. His father gave such a psak. If the oval is in the same city and they're going to bury the mace on the outskirts of the city, so then, even if the oval doesn't plan, let's say it's an hour before the Shkia, and they're going to take the mace to the cemetery, it's going to take an hour and a half. So even though the oval doesn't plan to go with the mace, so that din doesn't, Shach explains in the Nekudas HaKesed, that this din, when you bid farewell to the Orin, and they're going to take the Orin to bury him somewhere else, So the Avela begins the Shiva right away. That doesn't apply in this case because he can always change his mind and take a car, take a cab, and chase after them and catch up with them. Unless, let's say, the person here, there was a case, the person died in New York. Rabbi Gelli just passed away, the Rabbi Breuer, he died in New York. And the Kfura was going to be in Breuer Cemetery that's in Paramus. And they have the minhag, like the Sfarim, the women, they don't allow women to go to the cemetery. So the wife, the Almana, Mrs. Gelli, with the daughters, remained behind. And the Kfura wasn't going to be on the outskirts of New York, going to be Paramus. That's Paramus, a different city. That's their base of club. That's a different city. So the pashtus is that the Avelis begins right away. It's going to be in a different city. So you start Avelis right away. Even though everybody has a cell phone, they can call. But we assume the Avelis begins right away. What are the halachas of God Labayis? The Gemara has a din that there's so many conditions that it never applies because the whole din is not shaykh. They'll be pashtus. If there's a whole family, and one of the members of the family makes all the decisions for the whole family. Usually it only applies if the family lives together and they're in business together. Usually the family, I have 9 children, each child lives in a different city. Nobody, I have 3 children in Eretz Yisrael, they live in three different locations in Eretz Yisrael. Children in America, nobody lives in the same place. They're not, they have no shaykhah. They're always emailing each other, but they're not in business together. They don't have any shaykhahs together. So the pashtus says there's no God Labayis at all. God Labayis is the one who makes all the decisions when everything is all together, and they're going to be sitting shiva in the home of the God Labayis, which is often not the case. The one child that makes all the decisions, let's say the oldest child or whatever, makes all the decisions, lives in California, and they're going to be sitting shiva where the mother lives over here. The mother's an old lady, and she didn't make any decisions. So there's so many conditions, it really doesn't apply. But the Gemara, the whole din of God Labayis, the din in the Gemara is that a person comes in the middle of Shiva, comes to visit his parents, and he comes home and he finds out they're sitting Shiva, somebody died, and he wasn't aware, and he finds out about the death of the relative when he comes into the Beis HaOvel. So then the din is that he doesn't have to observe 7 full days of Shiva. They're in the 5th day, they're in the 6th day, they're in the morning of the 7th day. So the Gemara says he just observes Shiva till the end of the Shiva, and that's it, he calls it quits. So the Gemara says this is only provided that he comes Mimakon Karav. What's the definition? Makom Karav, Makom Rachek. So the Rif quotes from the Bahag, this is based on the din of Korban Pesach. There's a din of Tomi B'derech Rechoika. If a person B'derech Rechoika, far away, what's he far away? So for Korban Pesach purposes, far away means Ben Hamadim Velachutz. You draw a circle around Yerushalayim and the radius of the circle is a distance from Yerushalayim to Modiim. So that's called Makom Karav, and past that is called Berichot Makom. Bomi Makom Rachek. So that's by Korban Pesach, because the Chiyuv Korban Pesach begins at Chatzos on Erev Pesach, and you have to bring the Korban Pesach before the Shkia. But with respect to Avelos, it doesn't depend on, half a day depends how much could you travel in one day. So how much can you travel in one day? So the Gemara says something, 10 parsois. The Gemara says 10 parsois, 40 mil. Okay. So that, where did they get the Shkia from? Why is it 40 mil? What is that based on? So that's based on how much could an Adam Beinoni walk in the course of a day if he's walking all day long. He's walking all day long at an average speed. The Gemara says the person is min hamadim v'lachutz, he's past Modiim, but he has a camel. And he's going to arrive in Yerushalayim hours before the Shkina. It doesn't matter if at Chatzos he's min hamadim v'lachutz, so he's not chayim, he can't participate in Korban Pesach, even though it's bada, he's going to arrive. So it's a question, was this halacha l'moshe misina kach nemar halacha, that it depends on how much an Adam Beinoni would travel in one day by Korban Pesach. So the definition over here is, if you're 40 mil away, 10 parsos, 40 mil away, that's called makom rachek. Or maybe this Achrayim raises the Shadda, the Talmidim of the Dadi Behuda raises the Shadda, Tshuva Mehava has, and others have Tshuvas. Maybe the halacha depends on what the average travel, how the average traveler would travel. So maybe Bizman by Sheni, the Chachamim felt the average traveler would go by foot. But Bizman Azan, the average traveler is not going to go by foot. You're going to go by train, you're going to go by plane, you're not going to go by foot. So that's a Shadda. Now that we have trains, and maybe Makom Karav, is much past 40 mil. So it's a shaila and Hilchas Korban Pesach. So the Achrayim write, when the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt, we'll have to have a Tchias HaMeis, and we'll have to ask Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll ask the Gedolim then what it is. What's the definition of Machen Korban, Machen Grachik? What is it called Derech Rechik? But what he paskin now, the Vaila, as far as Avelis is concerned? So they say, Halach HaKetibra HaMekel Bob, since it was a Machloikas among the Talmidim of the Rebbe Yehuda, so you go to Kula, so even if he came from a further distance, since the average travel today would go by plane, he's not going to go by car. What's going to go from? He's going to go from Paris to Yerushalayim by car. Which Mishul going to even a poor person not going to go by car? The average person would go by plane. So maybe today it shouldn't. So the Maisa you just undid the whole din of Makom Rachek. You can get anywhere within one day. One day's travel. You can go from what's the furthest place in the world? New Zealand. I don't know. Where's the furthest place from civilization? Probably in New Zealand. So wherever, you can probably arrive within 24 hours within one day's travel. So you just, it can't be. So they quote the name of Moshe, it can't be. You can't undo the whole din of Machen Korban, Machen Rachek. So they say from Moshe that it has to be the same continent. If it's a different continent, for sure, it doesn't have a din of Machen Korban. It can't be considered Machen Korban. There's an interesting tshuva that Maram Shik has in tshuva. A person, they didn't have telephones, a person went to visit his parents. So he went by train, and he got off the train in the village where his parents lived, and in a train station, before he walked home to his parents' home, they say, oh, your father just died. The family is sitting Shiva, they're in the middle of Shiva now. They come to his home, he sees they're sitting Shiva. He passed them, that's not called, there's no din of God Labayis over there, because he found out about it before he came into the base of him. He says, the din of God Labayis only applies if the Yedias Avelus, the din is Kozman, the Oval does know that the relative died, there's no Chiv Avelus. The Yedia is Mechayben Avelus. Let's say a person does know that his relative died. And he's about to daven shacharis. Should I tell him, don't put on your tefillin and don't daven shacharis? So the apostles say, no. Most of the apostles say, don't tell him that. I know that I just got a phone call, his mother died. So don't tell him, let him daven, let him wear the tefillin. After the davening, he said, you really shouldn't have to tell anybody that anybody died. The Gemara says, Moitzi Diba Huxil, you should really not tell over any bad news. But since the meaning is that the son say the Kaddish, so that'll be a schus for the Niftah, so you should tell the son that the father died, that he should say Kaddish. But if not for that, let's say it's a different relative, there's no mitzvah to tell him that anybody died, then there's no mitzvah to observe Avelus. Wait till after, let it be a Shmur Rechoika. Don't tell him until a month is over. Don't tell him even after the month, if it's not necessary. Don't tell him until after a month. And my father was old, so my father was the youngest in his family. He had two older brothers, so he wasn't so much in contact with the brothers. So he told my sister that in case one of the uncles dies, she shouldn't tell him until after the Shloshim. My father was an old man. My father died at the age of 94. And he said, don't tell me until after the Shloshim, so I won't have to observe the whole Avelus the whole 7 days. I'll just Shmua Rechayka, say in the Hegas, Al Yamecha Duva. So there's no mitzvah to tell a person. The Yedias Avelus is Mechayiv in the Avelus, it's in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's say I made up, I'm going to pick someone up to take him to the wedding. I'm a doctor in the hospital. I know that his father just died. So strictly speaking, I don't have to tell him. I can take him to the wedding and dance with him. There's no Lichniyiv. He's not Mechayiv to observe Avelus. Because money does know, and he's not Mechayiv. And after the wedding, I'll tell him that his father died. If he's going to be angry at me, why? Because he wanted to make a ring. Okay, so use your brains. But there's no mitzvah. He's not Mechayiv to tell him. And there's no reason to take him to the wedding and to dance with him, because Kolzmani does know that the relative died, so there's no chiyuv avelus. So that's what the Maram Shik is of the opinion. The Gemara's case of Gadol HaBayis only if the son finds out about the death in the Beis HaAvel. But if he finds out in the train station on his way, 10 minutes before he gets to his parents' home, he says the whole din of Gadol HaBayis does not apply, that the avelus is chopped off. Really applies. God Labayis really applies. I don't think it ever applies Bizman. We have telephones. We always call all the people. So according to the Maram Shik, the whole din doesn't apply. Their relatives found out before they came to the base of them. So the whole din of God Labayis doesn't apply. Each one begins Shiva on a different day.
So if they go to Eretz Yisrael, with the Ara,
half right.
of them go, half of them stay.
What?
Half go to Eretz Yisrael with the Ara, half yeah. stay.
So those who stay begin right away, those who go there begin the Shiva later, and those who began later end later. Nobody should end up earlier. Yeah.
Is that
appear before the Maram Shik, or that's his Kiddush?
That's the way it's described in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, that he found out about the Avelis in the Beis HaAvel. So he says it's only in that case.
I'm saying that he's making an extension that the idea is Kolbeya.
That we know. That is a din. That's not his Kiddush. That we know without the Maram Shik. Yeah. And Moshe said the whole thing doesn't apply from Eretz South America. It's a different continent. So he said he can't say the whole world. The Gemara says in Tosfos quotes the Rif from the Bahag has to be within 40 mil. So Eretz South America is way more than 40 mil. So you're relying on the Achrayim that today that there are planes. The average person would go by plane. So the whole world is Mokum Korb. So Moshe Tanya, you can't do away with the din of Derech HaChoyke. It's a Parsha and the Chumash. So he says, at least you have to limit it. It has to be the same continent. So Arizona, America is not the same continent. The Moshe thought there's never a din of Gadol HaBayis b'zman hazeh. When should one rip kriyah? So I think the common practice, the Gemara says, Ha'emet alameis b'shas t'tzias neshama. If somebody's present when a Jew dies, so all the people who are there are supposed to rip kriyah. So the common practice is that only the kriyah rip kriyah. The Achrayim say the doctors don't have to rip kriya because then they won't want to be there to take care of a person who's holding by the end because they don't want to have to rip kriya. So the Gemara says, the Gemara has such an idea. In order to encourage people to be members of the Chevra Kadisha, in order to encourage people that they should become doctors, they have to tell them they don't have to rip kriya. Another explanation, the doctors see every day they see people die, so they're not so excited about it. If once in a long while I happen to be there when a person is dying, so it's a shas chimam. But the doctors see people dying all the time, so they're never a shas chimam, unless it's their relative. But if the patient's dying, so they're not so excited about that. So the ma'aseh, the common practice is that the doctors and the nurses and the chevra kadisha who are present when someone dies, they don't rip kriya. And even if there are friends there, also the achrayim say we don't observe that din in the Gemara, we only have the krovim rip kriya. So the krovim are there, b'shas yitzias neshama. So the correct practice is they should rip kriya then. Kriya has to be b'amida, you have to be standing. Unless the person b'amish an invalid, then he can't stand up. Achoyla, so he rips kriya in the sitting position. But you're supposed to rip kriya b'amida. The Gemara even says, the way we have the story in the Gemara, one of the Amoraim ripped kriya b'yeshiva, then he realized that he did wrong, so he ripped kriya again b'amida. So the way the Gemara tells the story, it's ma'akev b'yeshiva. If a person rips kriya b'yeshiva, not even Yotze B'riyeh, but the Rif doesn't quote the story. So some Achrayim said, the Rif just quote the din has to be Bamida, didn't quote the story. They ripped again, so you see the Rif perhaps seems to hold that B'riyeh and you are Yotze, if you rip Kriya the Yeshiva. But some Achrayim go so far to say, you're not Yotze, even B'riyeh, just the Kriya, and when you say Baruch Dayanu Emes, when you stand up and you rip Kriya a second time, you have to say again Baruch Dayanu Emes. So that's not accepted. The Pashtus is Baruch Dayanu Emes. It's not a Bichas HaMitzvah that's connected with the Kriya, the two unrelated things. Our meaning is that we say Baruch Dayanam, same time that you rip the Kriya, right before you rip the Kriya. But it's not connected. So if the relatives are there B'shas T'tzias Neshama, then the common practice, the correct practice should be, that you really rip Kriya at that time, and then they should say the Tzidik HaDin. They should say Tzidik HaDin right away. If they're not there, often they're not there, when my father passed away, both parents passed away, I was not there, I was in Manhattan. So if you're not there, then the minig is that you wait till late. So the different minhagim, so some have the minig, you wait till right before the hespedim, some have the minig right before the kvura, some have the minig wait till right after the kvura, whatever the minig amokam is. The Gemara has a lashon that the kriya should be b'shas chimam. The Gemara Gvad is not talking about relatives, the Gemara is talking about ripping kriya for Talmud Chacham. Chacham Shemes, the Kriya should be B'shas Chimam. So a group of Achrayim say that Gemara is only on a Chacham Shemes, doesn't have to do with the relatives dying. But it's usually assumed that it applies to the relatives also, and they're different minhagim. Everything is Shas Chimam. The middle of Shib is also Shas Chimam. So some feel that if one is there B'shas Tzias Neshama, that for sure the relative should rip then. B'amida, they should rip then. And if they're not there, so then many have the minute to rip right before the Hespedim, or the other minute to rip right before the Kvur. Some Svardim they write have a minute to rip Davke after the Kvur. You have to be aware what the minute Gamakam is.
And the Bracha of Dainavis?
You say right away. You say at the same time that you're ripping the Kriya.
What about when you hear it? Maybe you're not there. What shouldn't it be when you just hear it? You're in Manhattan.
Yeah.
To die. and they call you up and tell you?
It should have been, but I think the meaning is that not. The meaning is that you say the bracha in connection with the kriya at kedei kach, that some of the akranim thought you got to repeat the bracha again, so that we don't accept. There is machlekes when you say baruch dayinu emes, baruch ata Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam, dayinu emes, or just baruch dayinu emes. So we usually say with the Shema Malchus, we assume that the whole thing should be a bracha, not just baruch dayinu emes, because we assume that you say b'shema malchus. How exactly the rib kriya? So the Gemara makes a difference. Kriya lovi balima and kriya on shakrayv. In kriya on shakrayv, you only have to rip tefach. Tefach has to be vertical, not horizontal. You rip horizontally, the Gemara says, you're not yotze, you have to rip again. And kriya lovi balima is not enough if you just rip the tefach. You have to rip achi gala esliba, you have to rip further down. Achi gala esliba. Because by parents you rip achi gala esliba, and by normal people the heart is on the left side, but that's why the minig developed, Achranim Havim Milig, that a minute, that Kriya Lava Alima, you rip on the left side, that's where the heart is. Kriya on the other Kriya, you rip on the right side. By some Spartan, they have the minig Farket, Kriya Lava Alima is more Chomer, so you should rip on the right side. The right side is more important. Kriya Shakra, you rip on the left side. This is not Ba'akibidi Yevit, either way. I remember once there was a relative of mine, so his father passed away, so he ripped Kriya on the right side. He's a Rebbe in a yeshiva. He's not a practicing rabbi. He's a Rebbe in a yeshiva, so he didn't know. So then they told him his father, that's a rib kriya on the left side. So he got up to say a hesped by his father's funeral, that both sides were ripped. It would look funny, he's going to get up on the right side, everybody's going to laugh. Yeah. There is a big machlekes, let's say the person...
If someone's going there, if the nifter's going there to straw, they have that statement here in the States.
I think if the relative who's going along is attending the Hespedim here, so that's the Shas Chimam. He should rip Kriya right before the Hespedim here. Yes? Yeah.
He's beloved the Yaron Teretz Israel.
Yeah, but he's going to attend the Hespedim here also.
But he's going to have Hespedim in Eretz Israel too.
Okay.
In Eretz Israel.
Yeah, but the minute he rip before the Hespedim. So he rips before all the Hespedim. I would think so. The whole thing is not Miyakim B'Yevit, but I would think you rip before the first set of Hespedim. The meaning is when you see the Kosel Amaravi, so also you have to, Gemara says it has a din like Kriya Lovu Alima, so the meaning is supposed to rip on the left side. Rip on the right side is also good. The Adiyah B'Yevit is also good, yeah.
How does a female rip while maintaining tzniut?
The Gemara says after you should have a pin, a diaper pin, a safety pin, and after she rips, they should either put something over it or hold it together with the pin. Alav v'alima, the Gemara says you have to rip kol avgodim sholav. On Shar Mason, if a brother dies or a different relative dies, you only rip one begad. On alav v'alima, you have to rip all of the begadim. Which begadim are all the begadim? So the begad zeya, the undershirt, you don't rip. And the jacket, which we only wear when we daven, it depends. In Europe, they didn't have central heating, so they used to wear jackets to keep warm, so they wore a jacket all day long. We have central heating in the houses, so we usually don't walk around with jackets. When you want to daven, when you meet a business contact, you want to dress up the kovadik, so it's really, the jacket is really a beggar that you only wear the kovad bialma. So the beggar that you only wear, or a top coat. Top coat, you don't have to rip Korean top coat. So that you also don't rip Kriya. Arba Kampus is a big machlekes, and in Siv writes in his Chubas in the Meshin Dover, when his mother passed away, he ripped Kriya on his shirt. He didn't rip on the undershirt, and he didn't rip Kriya on the Arba Kampus, because the Arba Kampus is only worn L'Shem Mitzvah. And others disagree, so what? So you wear L'Shem Mitzvah, so what? But you only chayv in tzitzis, if it's a beggar that keeps you warm, if it's a beggar that you wear L'Hanoah. So that's a machlokes. I think the common practice is you don't rip kriya on the arba kamos. You only rip kriya on the shirt. So it comes up, what? So halav v'alima, you're supposed to rip kalav gadim shalav. So what are you going to rip? The undershirt you don't rip. The arba kamos you don't rip. And then the jacket you don't rip. You're just going to rip the shirt. So what do you have kalav gadim shalav? That's all you have. So the meaning is, you rip kriya on the jacket also. Even the imikar adin bayas, the jacket is really a beged kovet. It's not really a beged that you wear. Rabban Soloveitchik used to say, and they say Rabban Soloveitchik also said, that the shirt is also a beged zeh, because a lot of people change their shirt every day. So there's nothing to rip kriyan. So the undershirt you don't rip, the jacket you don't rip, the shirt you don't rip. So what is it, a rip kriya?
So
I don't know.
The Baron always told us that we tear on the jacket is the ikur, and not the shirt. The jacket,
but we don't wear the jacket to keep us warm. The jacket only gets covered by Alma. We're acting like rabbis here, so we're all wearing jackets. If it wouldn't be a rabbinical convention, we wouldn't be wearing jackets. We'd be walking around in shirts. We only put on the jacket, lekovid b'yama. That's a problem. I don't know. I think it's usually a self akir that if a different relative died and you're only going to rip kriya on one beged, so you shouldn't rip on the jacket. We assume the jacket is a beged covered, you should rip on the shirt. And by parents, since they didn't require supposed to rip kalav gadim shalov, so you rip both the shirt and the jacket. But mikra din, we assume the jacket, you're not yotze kriya. Yeah. How exactly do you rip? So there's a set of svarim that's called Orchos Rabbeinu. There was a Talmud Chacham, I think he was the brother-in-law of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, so he was very close to the disciple from the time he was a teenager. Stackel was a malamed in one of the yeshivas in Bnei Brak, so this Harvitz learned by him, and then he kept contact for 50, 60 years later. So he wrote down every time the stackel sneezed, how many times he went to the Beis HaKisa Yom Kippur, in 1940, 1941, every sneeze he wrote down, everything. So a little bit, part of it is a little bit ridiculous, but he has a lot of interesting on Harvitz. So he writes there that when the stackel's wife passed away, so Rav Chaim Kanievsky was sitting shiva for his mother. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky is the son-in-law of Rabbi Yasha. So Rabbi Yasha came from Yerushalayim to be Menachem Avil. So you saw Rav Chaim Kanievsky had a jacket, and it was his mother died, so he ripped kriya on the left lapel. So that's what you usually do. You rip the left lapel, it hangs down. So Rabbi Yasha whispered to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you have to rip at shigala es libo, you have to uncover a part of the body. This lapel is folded over. So when you rip off the whole lapel, that part of the body is still covered, but the bottom part. So in order to be yotze kriya, hachigala es libo, if the din would have been tefach, so you rip the tefach, but the din requires hachigala, so you have to uncover part of the body. It's not uncovered because you're wearing a shirt and an arbakamis and an undershirt also. But in order to hachigala, they said you have to rip like this, on this part, not just to rip down the lapel. So he stood up and he ripped again. So his father didn't understand what, or Stikler didn't understand what was going on. It was his wife who passed away, it wasn't a parent. So he stood up and he thought that he wasn't the Yotzei Kriya. So he stood up and also ripped the whole jacket. He ripped down the whole jacket. It's an interesting idea that that's not called Megala Sliba because the lapel is covering over the part of the body. It's covering over the same part of the body that's covered over with the bottom part. So it's covered anyway. He didn't do any Gibli. An interesting idea.
So what do you instruct?
They're going to throw the jacket out anyway. So you may as well rip it over here. No one's going to sew up the jacket. It's too expensive to sew up the jacket. So you throw it out anyway. So you may as well satisfy what Rabbi Yashiv said.
You go from the side all the way into the coat and then down?
You have to rip like this. So not only the lapel be hanging down, the part of the jacket will be hanging down. Because you just ripped the lapel, so you didn't uncover any part of the body.
But not from the middle. We don't start in the middle of the beggar.
No, you have to start from the edge.
You have to cut all the way across and then down.
Yeah, you have to cut across a little bit, then cut down. Yeah. The Olam is makel that even on a day that you're not supposed to say, you don't say tachnun, so you don't say any aspedim, so the Olam is makel to say aspedim. Is there any room to be makel? It's not really right. It's a din, you're not allowed to say aspedim. Rabbi Tzal Eponovich was a big Baal Mecharish. Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, he was the biggest Baal Mecharish of the generation. He was known for his chidushim, but he had a lot of chidushim, aloch lamaisa, many of which were not accepted. So this was one of his. He said that the issur to deliver a hesped on Yontif, on Chanukah, whatever, is because it's a mitzvah of simcha. But the oinen, Mishamesh Mutal Eponovich, is not allowed to observe any mitzvah, so he's not allowed to observe the mitzvah of simcha. So there's no issue for him to deliver a hesped. The rabbi can't deliver a hesped, but the oinonim can deliver a hesped. His opinion was not accepted, because not only is it an issue to deliver a hesped, it's an issue to listen to a hesped. So the oinonim can't, what's he going to deliver a hesped? No one's going to listen. No one's allowed to listen.
Moshe also holds, he says in Tshuva, that he holds, he thinks an oinonim to deliver
because he's allowed to share his grief. He's allowed to express his grief.
I saw that quoted, yeah, I don't know, but I think that was not accepted. The Abitzalas Chiddush was not accepted. They all disagreed, they held it's not right. Just last year, Dr. Alan Goldstein passed away. He was the Rav's doctor for many years. He was very learned, he was quite a Talmid Chacham. So the funeral was on Tu B'Shvat. So they asked me to say a hesped. He was very kind to me. After the Rav, he used to take care of the Rav all the time. After the Rav passed away, so he took care of me. That was his way indirectly of continuing to take care of the Rav. He felt as if he was still taking care of the Rav. He was so attached to the Rav. So the funeral was on Tu B'Shvat. So I thought it said in Shulchan Aruch, not supposed to deliver a hesped. Then I looked in the drushes of the Tzlach. He has a hesped that he delivered for Balabas, who was a very becoming digger Balabas on Tu B'Shvat. He says, you may say a hesped. Okay, so I delivered a hesped. I started off by saying over the Tzlach, says that it's Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is not really a yontif. Tu B'Shvat, there's no cause to celebrate. In Yiddish literature, they write the trees are full of snow, and the wind is howling, noisy, so they visualize as if the trees are davening in a sanatikif, and the talesim, the white talesim, the snow covering the trees is a talesim, and the howling sound is the chazan singing in a sanatikif, but the whole thing is all halaymas. This is all literary imagination. It's nishken Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah le'ilonis means the chumas and maizvis, for orla has nothing to do with real Rosh Hashanah. It's not Abba Rosh Hashanah, they say, so just like on the real Rosh Hashanah, you don't say Taknon, Santu Vishvat also. There's no real reason not to say Taknon. But on the other days, Taki, you're not supposed to say a Hesped. Not supposed to say a Hesped. Even Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, Efter Chatzos also, you don't say Taknon, so the meaning is that you don't deliver a Hesped. The meaning is you don't say Kelmole Rachman. Whenever it's a day, you don't say Taknon, you don't say, most have the meaning, you don't say Kelmole Rachman. May a pregnant woman attend a funeral. So in this Sefer Chaim Aruch, the Mishmer Shalom, he says, someone must have overheard the Rabbanim discussing the din, the Shach, quotes from the Rekeach, Shach and Yeredeh, quotes from the Rekeach, the Morgan Aram and Hilchus Shabbos quotes this from the Shach, it quotes the Rekeach, that Eishes Kain Muberes, if a girl is married to a Kain, she's pregnant, there's a 50-50 chance she may have a boy, she may have a girl. So if she has a boy, she's going to go to a funeral, so she's metami the kohen. In the Amar Gamata, la hazik doylam alaktan, and today said, you're not allowed to be metami the kohen. But he says, the Rekeach says, it's 50-50, maybe a boy, maybe a girl, but even if it's a boy, she may have a miscarriage. She may not have a live baby. So therefore, the roi is lahakel, because a bas kohen is permitted to be metami the mason. If it's going to turn out to be an Eiffel, then the whole din doesn't apply. So that's what the Shach says. So based on that, today, that a lot of the women have the sonogram, they know that it's a boy. So the only stuff you have may be an Eiffel. So an Eiffel is a miut. So some of the Rabbanim say that that she's not allowed to go to the funeral because you no longer have what the Rekeach called the Sveksveka, the right. They all ask kashas on this. The Magen Avraham asked the kasha that the baby before he's born is a, it's a Mishnah and a Gemara and Perek Be'emam kasha. What? So Makloik is how we paskin Ubar Yerachimah or not? Yeah. So, but the baby before he's born is called Tahara Blua. So the Gemara says Tahara Blua is not Mekabel Tumah. So what's the whole discussion? So the. So it's interesting, Rab Chaim Oizer and Rab Achana Basman were married to two sisters. They were brothers-in-law. They married the daughters of the Shabbal Arav, the Rabbi Shabbal. They both came up with the same idea, independent of each other. They both said the same thing. That apparently the Rekeach is of the opinion that the Yisr of the Kohen to come in contact with a mace is even if it's not the Tamihim. He's not allowed to come in the oil on mace, even not to have a hiskarbis with a mace, even if it's not going to be Metamihim. So that's a question whether we really are machma for that. So some rabbanim say if the woman took the sonogram, she knows that it's a boy. So there's no tzad lahak, and others say it's muta. So in this sefer Chaim Aruch, the Mishmer Shalom, he didn't have any sonograms. So he says that someone must have overheard the rabbanim discussing the topic. So they misheard. So they said, a pregnant woman is not allowed to go to a funeral. There is no such thing. Eishes Kayin pregnant is allowed to go to a funeral. A normal pregnant woman for sure is allowed to go to a funeral. So when people ask me, so I say, if the girl doesn't want to go, so let her say a teretz. The meaning is you don't go. But if the girl wants to go, so there's mamash no reason that she shouldn't go, unless she's an Eishes Kayan and she took a sonogram. So then there's what to pilpul about. But there's no such meaning, there's no such din. All things are a mistake. That's what it says in the Chaim Rach and the Mishmer Shalom. Should the tzidik adin be recited by the mourners or by the rabbi? The minig always was the aveilim, say the tzidik adin. The minig is, even though it's very difficult, the rabbi said, the achrayim say, it doesn't make any sense. The achrayim say, whenever a day that you don't say tachnun, then you don't say hespedim, and you don't say tzidik adin. So the achrayim say, it doesn't make sense. Tzidik adin is a tefillah. What should it have to do with a day that you say tachnun? But that was the minig. Then a day on which you don't say tachnun, you don't say hespedim, what the name? You don't say the tzidik adin. The Ramo died, then the Ramo was buried on Lag Boimer. So they quote the Ramo himself during his lifetime, used to Paskin, that even though you don't deliver hespin on Lag Boimer, but Chacham in front of you do, like a Chalamoit Chacham in front of you do deliver hespin. So tzidik adin is like a hespin, so if it's a Tamach Chacham who died, so you do say tzidik adin. So the whole Kehillah said tzidik adin on Lag Boimer, because they said that used to be the Ramo's psak himself, that if you have a Levi with a Chacham in front of you, you would say a hesped, so therefore you do say tzidik adin.
Women say kaddish. Should it be discouraged, encouraged, or somewhere in the middle?
If there are sons, they say kaddish, so let them rely on their sons. Why should they want to say? If there are no sons, so the question is toss-up. Should they ask someone else who's not a descendant, not related, to say kaddish, or should they say kaddish? So I remember Dr. Belkin always used to say that more correct is that the daughter should say kaddish. The Achrayim, the Pischei Tshuva and Hilchus Kaddish quotes from the Chavis Yoyer that really Mikra Din a daughter could say Kaddish, but Shalol Shaber is a minig. Nisht Sebrach in the minig. Meaning always was that daughters didn't say Kaddish. And then the Pesukim said that in recent years the minig changed, so you can't say that we're in violation of the minig. Today the minig is a lot of times daughters do say Kaddish. But if a girl wants to say Kaddish, I remember we were touring in Hungary a couple of years ago in the summertime, so there was one woman from Tinek, who was in Avelis for a parent, so she came every day, Shachar's Minchah, she came to say Kaddish, but you have to be in the same room where the 10 men are. She can't stand in a different room. So every time, so the shul has to decide, that we want to have the woman come into shul to say Kaddish. The woman's going to be in the Ezra's Nashim, that's a different room. I don't think you can even start, you have five people in the Ezra's Nashim, five people downstairs, I don't think they would starve to a minyan. You have to have the 10 people in the same room. So if a woman wants to say Kaddish and you want to allow it, then you have to have her come into the shul to say the Kaddish. My father told me... The Mishnah Brura writes, if the mechitza is attached to the floor, then it's two different rooms and you cannot be mitzar five people here, five people here. But if the mechitza is not attached to the floor, you can move it, so then it's considered one room, and you could be mitzar five people from one, five people from the other. So if a woman wants to say Kaddish on the other side of Mechitza, I think it would depend whether the Mechitza is attached to the floor or not.
Are there any gedarim for when an Avel is allowed during the Shiva to go out to work? Like say he has a fear he's going to lose his job or suffer a great loss?
The whole din of Avelis is only mid the Rabbanim. So if the guy's going to lose his Parnasa, there's a limit how much you're Mechiv to observe at the Rabbanim, not Mechiv to lose your Parnasa. Okay? But less than that, I would think than not. Yeah.
Ashahari in Boston itself, the Rav, Rabbi Simon was the major teacher of Maimonides. He had two daughters. His elder daughter Tammy, who was married to Muslim, why you teach else, went and asked the Rav if it's okay for her and her sister to say Kaddish. And Rav said absolutely.
Yeah.
Rav Aaron
Soloveitchik
also said
in Odil to Benichai,
he brings it down that the woman can say Kaddish.
Yeah, today the
minute
is that they do say Kaddish. My father was brought up in the Chassidish part of Europe, and he says he remembers the Rav passed away, and the daughter came to shul every day, and she said Kaddish in the shul, in the men's section. But you have to say, if you want to say Kaddish, you have to say in a room where there are 10 men.
Is that even apply if they're the only one saying Kaddish?
Yeah, even if they're the only one, they don't need another man saying this. Okay, we covered 19 questions.
So I'm going to see us our goal out this time, and I apologize. But thank you so very much for your
work. Everything should just be the total beyond.
He has to go to a place where there are other masons. It's better for him to hold on to the casket, so that way he's allowed to expose himself to
others. The Shazam's going to get back.
Right, so...
How's he going to get out of it?
So what Eitzel would we give him? We just better tell him that he
should
go?
That's why he's supposed to bury him on the edge.
Right, but what happens if it doesn't work out that way?
Is that right? Then he should go on the first one.
Okay.
Aleichem Shalom. First is a... So this is Aninus left while he's on the plane. Perfect.
No, he's on the plane. They can't do anything now.
All right.
Right.